Hey everybody, this is Jim Parsons. Welcome to the 14th edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. We got a lot going on today, including Stomping Grounds predictions, low ticket sales, and everything leading into that pay-per-view. Sasha Banks retweets an AEW video. Lars Sullivan is out with an injury. Jericho comments on AEW employment contracts. Drake Maverick wins a 24/7 title, a possible club reunion, and Mike and Maria Kanellis re-sign with the WWE. What's going on? All that and more on this edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. Everybody, welcome to the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesportster.com. It is Thursday, day after what we normally would record on being the Wednesday, but had a busy week, lots going on. Brandon has a new job, so he was doing job interview kind of stuff, but he's on the other line with us. How's it going there, Brandon? Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you. It was great. The interview was at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I walked out of there at 10:07 with a new job.
There you go.
That was fun.
Clearly, they've heard your work here on the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, and they thought to themselves, how can we not hire this guy, right?
I definitely mentioned the website and the podcast, so who knows?
Cool. Well, that would be good. Any listeners are good listeners, and whether or not they hired you because they're wrestling fans or not, I have no idea. But that's what we cover here, so we'll get right to it. Before we get into all the topics of the day, let's remind everybody where they can find us and listen to us. We host everything on anchor.fm. Just search Smart Marks of Wrestling Podcast and you'll find it there. Now, where else are we? We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podbean, Spotify.
YouTube
now, yeah. I'm a little slower sometimes in uploading the YouTube videos, but that's coming in time. Just a matter of maneuvering schedules to make it work. But yes, we want to make sure that we get everything on YouTube. Not a crazy busy week in WWE or AEW, but there are a few things worth talking about. Perhaps we should start with Stomping Grounds, which is this Sunday. Sure. By all accounts, it looks to be a disaster. It is not doing well in terms of ticket sales, and nobody seems to give two craps about the pay-per-view. But there are some decent matches on there, even though most of them are rematches. Did you have any initial thoughts about Stomping Ground? Are you going to watch it? Do you have predictions? Are you thinking anything keenly about that show? Is it just going to be it feels like a filler. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I couldn't probably name five matches without looking at the Wikipedia page as to what's happening on that show, because it seems like it came out of nowhere, I guess, because it's so fast after, the Saudi Arabia show.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, it's a lot of rematches, a lot of show, a match that we've already seen, which, I mean, I don't mind seeing Ziggler versus Kingston again. You know, I don't mind seeing Roman versus Drew McIntyre. I thought that feud's actually been booked really well. But is it Rollins versus Corbin? I'll say it's really not easy to make a storyline with Baron Corbin look like enticing, because obviously he's not the most popular wrestler in the world right now. But they've done a pretty good job at keeping it at the forefront, but not stale, I think. I don't know how you felt about it, but they've actually kept it like pretty interesting on TV. So that's been interesting for me. They've got some good matches. I just don't know. Like you said, they've struggled to really like sell seats for it even, which is crazy, because if you look at All Out, which is obviously an August AEW show, they could have sold out 137,000 seats in 30 minutes, was it? Was that the report?
Well,
that's insane.
Yeah. We'll get there in a second, and I have some opinions that may not be of the popular opinion on this AEW sellout stuff. I could probably name the matches on the Stomping Ground cards only because if I were to think back in the last 3 weeks to a month about who's battling with who, all
sure.
You got to do is think about that and go, oh, those are the matches, right? Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston in the cage, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Baron Corbin, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans. I mean, all you got to do is think back, because it's basically a reproduction of everything that's already happened. So
yeah.
I don't fault the wrestlers for that. That's on WWE. You can't
for sure.
You can't have these matches over and over and over again and expect people to be extremely excited. Like, no one in Tacoma right now is going, oh yeah, let's make sure that we go to the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view. Oh, a brand new pay-per-view. No one's ever done Stomping Grounds before. By the way, I think that's just insanely stupid that they keep coming up with these new ideas and changing and removing the old ones that actually have some tradition and taking them and putting new ones in. Nobody cares.
I don't like the new ones, like you said, like being named. I used to like knowing Vengeance was coming up or No Mercy or No Way Out, you know, like not ones that were around forever. Like, obviously, you've got the Big Four that have been around forever, but like they had like tradition, Armageddon, for example, you know, like seeing these kind of pay-per-views that you know the name of. Bad Blood for a while. Was it Insurgents? That was like an international one, right? That was a few years, I think.
Yeah.
But at least they kept some kind of tradition.
Yeah, Battleground, I think, is what this one was or something, wasn't it? Before it became
Stomping. And even that's new.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? You don't keep these things around long enough to build the tradition so that you can go, oh, yeah, I remember last year at Battleground or 2 years ago. They just don't keep them long enough.
Yeah.
And I can almost guarantee you the Stomping Ground ain't never going to happen again.
Nope.
You know, like, they're looking at it going, geez, we got to give away 2-for-1 tickets just to get people in the building. This clearly was not a great idea, right? There was a lot of people when that name came out anyway that didn't love the name, but whatever. It's not the name. It's the idea that you're changing the pay-per-view constantly, that you aren't really promoting it because you did your Saudi Arabia show. Oh, and by the way, everything that you are promoting has already happened. So no wonder it's not the most exciting pay-per-view that we're going to get to watch this year. Hopefully the matches are great. Hopefully they steal the show and everybody walks away and goes, wow, that was actually really good. Who knows if that'll happen or not. But, you know, what if we went through really quickly and did some predictions, what do you see happening? Is there any matches that might surprise you? Are you thinking, yeah, these are pretty easy matches to call?
So Bayley versus Alexa, I want to say Bayley's going to win. I think it would be stupid if she doesn't. And I love Alexa Bliss, don't get me wrong. But right now, push Bayley to the moon. Like, let her finally have this moment. Roman versus Drew. I want to say Drew, but we have no idea with Roman. Anytime Roman's in a feud, he could very likely win. We've also seen now, like, people complain when Roman wins and when Roman loses. So I don't know what fans want with Roman Reigns. I mean, I guess they don't want him, but also they do want him. So I'm confused with that. Becky versus Lacey. I still want to say Becky, but would you be surprised at all if Lacey comes out with a win?
No.
Right.
No, I wouldn't. And the only reason that I would even remotely think that Becky Lynch is going to have a shot here, I think WWE very much likes Lacey Evans, and
yes,
I think they have big, huge future plans for her. The reason that I think Becky Lynch is going to retain at this pay-per-view and probably keep the women's title for a long time is because they're really milking this whole idea of the Becky-Seth Rollins relationship, both having a title, right? So as long as Seth Rollins keeps the Universal title, which probably will happen for a while, I think Becky Lynch is going to keep the Raw Women's title, and the two of them will continue to cross paths in dark matches on the ramp or backstage segments where one stares at the other, and it's like a not-so-subtle nudge-nudge, wink-wink, go-get-em-tiger kind of thing, right? Like, it's cheesy and it's really overdone, but I have a feeling that that's what they're doing here. They like the idea that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are an item. They want to promote that they are an item, and if you take the title away from Lynch right away, you lose a little bit of that, is my thinking. I don't know that I agree with it, but I have a feeling that's what WWE is doing.
Right.
So, yes, I would like to see Lacey. I actually like Lacey Evans, other than the fact that I'm not sold on how polished she is in the ring yet. Sometimes I watch her and I think, oh, she's actually pretty good. And then other times, like that Charlotte Flair match, even though I don't think that was either of their faults, I think they were told to do that, was about the worst match I think I've seen all year.
Yeah.
You know, it was that shoot fight thing that they were trying to pull off that just didn't work. I don't know if that's on them or if that's just booking or what, but it was bad. So I'm not really sure if it's Lacey Evans that is not, you know, quite ready to be, you know, in the main event and putting on 15-minute matches, or, you know, if it's just the way that was booked. But I do think she's got a future there. You mentioned Bayley and Alexa Bliss. I'm not sure what the whole story with the Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross thing is. That could be interesting, but I think Bayley keeps it. What about the United States title, Ricochet, Samoa Joe?
That one's interesting, right? Because obviously they wanted the title off of Joe and on Rey Mysterio. So now are they going to just substitute Ricochet in for Rey Mysterio? Like another high flyer?
That was my exact thought.
You know, and I wouldn't mind it at all. Like, I like Joe and I like Ricochet. So I also like Mysterio, but obviously he's not in the picture right now. So I'm fine with Ricochet taking the title.
This very much feels like this is a match that was, you know, a few weeks later than it should have been, but it was supposed to be Rey Mysterio. Everything fell apart when he got hurt, and now they're trying to quickly scramble and make up for it. Oh, yeah, let's just give the title to Ricochet. Everybody seems to like that guy. Yep. Right? So I get the feeling that's where that going. The Kofi Kingston match seems like a shoe-in. Kofi Kingston win. I don't see how
that goes another way. I agree that it seems like that, but, man, it would be a story if Dolph Ziggler wins it. I love this. I know it's not like a super popular thing. It's kind of like a hot topic where it's almost 50-50, I'd say, where people like don't like the whiny, like, it should have been me thing. I love that character. I find myself like once a day saying like, it should have been me. It's like a joke, you know? It's great. I love this character. I don't think anybody can pull it off quite as well as Dolph Ziggler has. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dolph Ziggler wins. Sorry, I would be very surprised, but I also say you shouldn't rule it out.
Sure. I just don't know if I'm still sold. I still think the Ziggler thing is only temporary. And until something major happens, like a Big E turn where he sides with Ziggler and goes back to that old relationship where the two are together, I just don't see Ziggler sticking around. And because of that, I don't see him winning.
I mean, wouldn't the WWE Championship run give him reason to stick around, though? Isn't that like exactly what he's wanted?
I don't think it's about him wanting to stick around. I think it's about WWE just doing what they do with Ziggler all the time.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying if they say, hey, we want to give you this push, and he's not going to say no.
Like, oh, he doesn't say no to anything. You know, like, he's willing to, I'm sure he was willing to come into Saudi Arabia, collect a paycheck, and go home. You know, I'm sure he was willing to show up at the Royal Rumble, whatever he was last year, 28, and get eliminated at 29.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's willing to do it. It's just a matter of, do they need him? Do they want him? Will they use him? And for the most part, they don't. Right? But now they needed him. There was no Kevin Owens at the Saudi Arabia show, so let's put Ziggler in there. Oh, hey, let's stretch more and more pay-per-view out of this. Let's put him in a cage. Oh, and then we'll go back. I mean, even Kevin Owens hinted at it on SmackDown that he's just waiting for the Ziggler program to be over so he can go after Kingston again, right? Mm-hmm. I just get the feeling that this is a temporary thing that WWE has stretched out for one more pay-per-view, like the rest of this pay-per-view where they threw it together like, oh, crap, we got to put this thing together in 3 weeks. Let's just have a rematch and we'll put him in a cage.
Yeah, we're giving you all the matches you couldn't see during the day.
Stick around for two more weeks, hey, Dolph, and then you know, we'll get you on TV, you'll make some money, and then you can go back to your comedy show. Like, I think that's how they treat him. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense to me why they do it, but that's what they're doing. So,
well, it's because he's the typical guy who you can put anywhere on the card and get just a 5-star match every time, you know what I mean? Like, he's so talented. So yes. They take that for granted almost.
Yeah, and that's why I say until there's a major storyline here where a New Day splits up and Big E goes the other way or whatever the case may be, I just don't know what the long-term plan is for Ziggler. So for that reason, I don't know if you give him the title. And they still like the idea that Kofi's going to have it. And if you're going to take it off him, I think it has to be a major storyline. Like, it's really going to be a big deal when he loses the title, even if you're blaming him, and I don't think you should, but even if you're blaming him for the low ratings right now, or he's partially responsible and nobody seems to be invested in, or whatever the reason you can try to justify why your ratings suck, I still think there's a big storyline to take the title off of him because everybody loves the fact that he has it.
Yeah. Right? I think more than anything, your skepticism makes perfect sense. And I'm just being like set up to be knocked down and or have the rug pulled out from under me. Like every single time Dolph Ziggler's ever pushed in any single way ever, you know, like the guy is always, you know, in the situation where he gets, you know, so close to the top. And I mean, he's been a world champion twice, I want to say, but it doesn't matter because they don't use him like that. So you are absolutely correct for your thinking. And I think that I'm just, you know, playing the fool right now, unfortunately.
Well, if you're right, you get to come back to this and say, hey, you know what? I called that one.
I mean, if I'm right, that I got lucky. WWE finally smartened up.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's a few matches on this card that I, looking at it now, I didn't even know were booked, like the Daniel Bryan Rowan versus Heavy Machinery. I knew they were working a program on SmackDown. I didn't know officially that this was a match. Xavier Woods and Big E versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention on Tuesday. I didn't know that was officially booked for Stomping Grounds. So there's a few on here that could be okay that are there, but you know, does it really matter who wins and loses those matches?
Yeah. I mean, Heavy Machinery, I would like to see win. The Cruiserweight match, I assume is going to be a really good match. I don't know that that matters who wins out, like you said. New Day against Owens and Zayn. That one should be good because, you know, Big E's return and New Day is obviously super huge. But then Owens and Zayn, who seem to be getting their, you know, their pushes, so to speak. I don't know where it's going to go, but I imagine all three of those matches should be quality at the very least.
Yeah, I think it'll be an undervalued, underrated pay-per-view. Like, I think the matches will be okay, and if you're a wrestling fan, you'll be entertained by it, but I don't think people will rush to tune in to find out is all I'm getting at, right? What else is going on? We can move on from the pay-per-view, I guess. I mean, Raw and SmackDown, there was a few things that came out of that of note. I think one of the biggest things that happened on Tuesday was Drake Maverick won the 24/7 championship. After weeks and weeks of hunting down and looking for R-Truth, he finally pulled one over on him. Mm-hmm. This screams to me... it's just as Carmella. Screams to me timing. He's getting married, I think, this week. And he yelled out the car window as he's driving away and fleeing the scene. Married. I'm off to my wedding. Yeah, right? Like, tell me that this doesn't just make you think something's coming where this 24/7 title is going to change hands once, twice, maybe three times at a wedding.
Yeah.
Do you see that happening? Like, is that the only reason Maverick got this thing, was so they could use this wedding as an environment or a backdrop to more shenanigans with the 24/7 title?
Maybe. More than anything, I'm kind of happy with how this title's been booked. I know it's been like the R-Truth title, but it's been like very, very small segments, if ever, on actual TV, you know? And it hasn't taken away from the main product. Not that the main product has been any good for the most part, but it hasn't been a distraction from anything like super serious. So I think that people that were complaining about it, I mean, you have to look at it for what it is. It's not going to be a serious title. It was never going to be a serious title. So I like the booking of it. I think you're right with the having the wedding be like the backdrop, kind of like a setting for when the next, probably it's not going to be on WWE TV. It's going to be something on like YouTube or Twitter or something, right?
Like, yeah, we'll get an update from their Twitter feed that says, oh, the 24 title has changed hands on Saturday afternoon, blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah,
that'll probably be what happens. But I'm curious. Here's what I want to know, and we may never know this, but Drake Maverick and R-Truth have made this title fun to watch.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's fun.
R-Truth is hilarious, and he always has been. But as this 24/7 title, it's just really elevated his platform to be what he's becoming, which is must watch. Drake Maverick has surprised me with how much he's invested in this thing and really ran with it and mm-hmm. done a very good job of making what he does something you want to see, right? Like, he's chasing them down. He's making the posters. He's going through the crowd. He's giving the flyers to fans that get to the building early. He's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. He is so invested in this thing that it wouldn't shock me at all if he actually uses his real life wedding and says, yeah, sure, come on, let's do it. Like, mentioned before we came on the air here that you think it's probably just going to be a stage thing where after the actual wedding, they just sort of reenact it, pretending like that's probably accurate. But wouldn't it shock you? Like, it wouldn't shock me if he says, okay, let's get the ceremony done. And then at the reception, feel free. I mean, he's marrying a female wrestler. She wants and has tried out for WWE. Wouldn't shock me if, you know, she's all on board. He seems to be totally good for anything. That wouldn't shock me at all if they went to the actual reception. What I'm curious about is, like, Braun Strowman's going to be there. EC3 is one of the groomsmen, if not the best man. Will they be in that scene? Will EC3 be the guy who double crosses Drake Maverick while they're up at the podium? You know, stuff like that, right?
That'd be really fun.
Yeah. That would be cool. Braun Strowman obviously won't be, and they might not even put him on camera because they don't want to associate him with the 24/7 title. But it would be funny. You know what I mean? Like, you know that they had to see this coming my way, and they're probably like, hey, Drake, you know, can we use your wedding? Like, this would be awesome. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see whether or not they, how much they do with that reception, if anything. And if they I think it's a missed opportunity.
I would say it wasn't even that. If this is the case, I would bet that Drake Maverick himself said, hey, I'm getting married in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever he would have brought it up. I should, you know, we should put something together that involves the wedding in the storyline. Especially because EC3 is going to be there. R-Truth can just show up. Like, I don't care if it's at my wedding, you know. I feel like they can definitely make this. I would bet that if it is, you know, the actual wedding, that Drake Maverick himself, you know, Rockstar Spud, the guy who's always, like, done it all to get a reaction, I would bet that he's the one that went up to them and said, hey, this is something we can do. So good for him if that's what he said, because that's just good creative ideas.
Yeah, and I did read an article, and there is some speculation going around that WWE, and they actually hired for this, or they put an ad out for creative writers. They're reaching out to the wrestlers a lot more and saying, hey, give us some creative ideas. So maybe they're opening the door for stuff like this, you know, where a guy like Drake Maverick says, you know, let's take advantage of this thing. Like, here's what we're doing and feel free to come and let's shoot something, right? So that wouldn't shock me. Another storyline that I liked this week coming out of Raw was the idea or the hint that AJ Styles and the club, Good Brothers, might be working on something. You know, getting back together. I don't know him. I have no idea what exactly they're planning on doing, but I like the idea that they are together and that he sort of admonished them for goofing around and not taking their spots in WWE seriously. One, what did you think about the idea that maybe the club is getting back together? And two, what did you think of the way that they put that together on Monday?
I thought it was good. I mean, I love the club. I love AJ Styles. He's my favorite. I think it's impossible to watch AJ Styles or, like, you know, Seth Rollins, Kenny Omega, any of the top tier guys who are not only like they are amazing, but they're booked like they're amazing. When you see them in the ring and they have that so much backing from the companies with them, it's almost impossible to look at them and say, well, this isn't entertaining. So AJ Styles is the perfect catalyst to try and get the Good Brothers back, you know, into some kind of limelight. And I think the way they did it was great because it wasn't him being, you know, buddy-buddy with them. It was him saying, hey, don't do the too sweet just because in the middle of a match. Like, you're going to lose a match because you're going to be stupid and throw it away like that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So he kind of was like, I want to say, you know, the leader in that situation. Where he said, hey, you did wrong. Grow up a little bit and do something better. Like, you're smarter than that. You're better than that. And it also could have been a mention to, like, hey, I know that you guys are better than this, which, again, is I know you guys are better than the role you've been given. So now, like, do something with the role. Don't just do the too sweet. Don't just do the gimmick, which, again, isn't their fault. I think it's obviously creator's fault. It's definitely creator's fault. But this could be a little, you know, shot at them as well and saying, hey, you're better than all this. Let's do something with what you actually can do. I wouldn't mind seeing them back together. I think that right now AJ Styles has nothing going on, really. Obviously, the club hasn't anything going on in ever. Since the company. Beat up John Cena and nothing else.
It was good to reference their time in Japan. It was good to reference their debut against the Usos in that building. It was good to reference the things that we should remember about them and where they came from and how reputable a tag team they were before the last year and a half to 2 years where they've just been nothing. You know, it's smart to do that. And you're right. Timing is everything here. AJ Styles has been out with an injury. He's coming back. He doesn't really have a program or much going on. This is a good opportunity to give him something to do. If he wants to be a heel, I don't know if that's where they're going with this, but, you know, he could lead that group. They could, you know, be his running buddies again. There's no wild card at this point, so why not put Finn Balor in that group? You know, at this point, everybody seems to be crossing over. I think the last 2 weeks or something like that, there was like as many as 8 people came on one of the shows from the other show. So this wild card thing is not even a thing anymore. There's just no brand split. They refer to the wild card, but they break the rule all the time. So there's really no excuse not to do this if you wanted to do this. And it makes sense that they would try to do that. There wasn't really much else that came out of Raw or SmackDown for me.
The Iconics won, finally.
Yeah, they did actually have a match.
And I was really excited about that. Like, something I shouldn't be excited about, the tag team champions winning a match, I was super excited about. I was like, hey, finally.
Well, and they did it right, too, you know what I mean? Like, my beef has always been, it's not necessarily that the tag champions have to be the best wrestlers or the unbeatable people or what have you, because they can elevate the belts or the belts can be used to elevate them, and I think that's what they were sort of doing. But yes, it was getting ridiculous that they weren't in any matches, that the matches that they were fighting were against people that you'd never heard of, and that's okay every once in a while. But what they need to be doing is cheating to win. Like, they need to come out, fight these people, have these matches, take advantage of an opportunity, cheat a little bit, play dirty, get the win, roll away, and you hate them because of it, right? Like, that's their job. That's their role. They're heel tag team champions. They're supposed to do this kind of stuff, right? It's like the Revival. That's what they're supposed to be doing, right? They're old school tag team that keeps you in their corner and almost always cheats to get the win at the end of the day. Like, it's just, that's how it should be done. And so, yes, that they're finally maybe sort of doing that would be a nice change.
Yeah.
I don't know what else really came out of it. The main events weren't, you know, whatever for me. The New Day, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn stuff at the end of SmackDown. I don't even remember what the main event was for Raw. I can't even remember. Yeah, that's how much it was memorable, I suppose, eh?
What was it, a tag team match? I guess 6-man tag match.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been. But dude, that's part of the problem with WWE these days, is just that their shows are so non-memorable that you don't really know kind of what you're watching. They throw in the matches together. You're not really sure who the stars are going to be when they come out and do their thing. It just screams to the problem. But hey, maybe we should go to that transition. You brought it up before, and maybe we should do that. Talk about the AEW sellout for the Fyter Fest, or All Out, right? Sold out in a matter of 15 minutes. How much do you actually think that this is, you know, a massive deal that everybody should be worried about? For me, the Sears Center in Chicago, it's an 11,000-seat arena.
Well, it's more than just that, though. It's the fact that this is from actual, like, analysts that were there that, like, saw, like, the ticket queue and the reserved seats and everything. You're talking about 100,000-plus people looking for seats in 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes, if you had that at any point of your sale, that's great, let alone 30 minutes in. And this isn't WWE. Like, don't forget, this is still just an indie company, right? Until they do anything of note, this is an indie company. Regardless of how you want to look at it, I would say it's the closest thing we've had to a WCW, you know, level competitor to WWE. But this is huge. And it's three shows in a row now, if you want to count All In, where they're really showing, hey, we are a legitimate competitor and people want to see us. So I would say this is very significant.
Well, yeah, I'm not taking anything away from AEW. I've liked their stuff so far. I like the, you know, Double or Nothing pay-per-view. I liked All In. I like, you know, the matches that they put on. I like the guys that they're signing. I like what they're doing with their YouTube stuff and their promotion and this and that. But I don't want to get carried away yet. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a massive arena. Of the ticket sales that happened, I don't know what the percentage is, but a good chunk of them were bought by scalpers, you know, just to resell them. I mean, they went online again 30 minutes after they sold out for resale. You know, like, that was people, a lot of that wait line was people coming in trying to grab tickets for resale. Like, that can't be discredited, right? So I'm just wondering how much of this is the fact that AEW is the shiny new toy that everybody wants to see. And the timing is that WWE is just not really good right now. So yeah, how much of that...
It's great timing for AEW.
It's
for sure.
Absolutely wonderful timing. And I disagree with you in the fact that they're an indie company now. They're not. You know, they haven't been on TV yet, but they have that TV deal. You know, they got big money behind them. They've got the sponsorship. They've got the TV channels in the UK and in North America. They're not an indie company anymore.
Was TNA an indie company?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I guess...
I don't think they were a very good company. There was a moment in time where it was quite entertaining, and they got away from that, and then everything fell apart on them, and then they changed ownership and financial stuff, and then they got worse and worse and worse, and they brought in people like Hogan and Vince Russo, and that stuff just killed them. Yeah. But I don't think there was a time when they were on, you know, Spike TV that I would have called them an indie company anymore.
Yeah, I think the issue comes down to... I don't, indie company isn't really what I mean, but they're not a global, like, known phenomenon like WWE is. WWE, if you say the letters WWE to anybody, or if you talk to anybody and they make a joke like, oh, what is this, WWE? Like, is this WWE wrestling? Yeah. No one's going to say, what is this, AEW? What is this, Ring of Honor? You know what I mean? So sure. You have to consider it a company that's not, it's not mainstream. That's what I was
talking about. That's true. They're not mainstream yet.
And I think they will be.
Yeah, I mean, even the argument can even be made back in the day when the Monday Night Wars were going on. You still didn't call... You called it WWE. You didn't call it WCW.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Was or is WCW synonymous with wrestling? Like, if I ask anyone, like a regular person on the street, if I ask 20 people, will they know what WCW is or was? I don't know that they will.
If they were wrestling fans, they would.
Yeah, but you'd have to be a wrestling fan.
It's just like, you know, can you tell me what, you know, wrestling is? And the first thing they said was Hulk Hogan. You know, like, yeah. Same thing, right? It's FedEx
or like
versus
video
U-Haul.
Gaming. They would have said like Nintendo. Now they might say Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Xerox when you're photocopying something.
Kleenex.
Right. Yeah. Like that sort of stuff.
A hot tub. All right, that's fair.
You know, all that kind of
we,
stuff.
We
right?
can do this all day.
Yeah, that's right. That's the deal.
it's very hard to not do it anymore. Like, it's very hard to not continue off of that as you go. Like, even like say like a baseball cap for a regular hat.
Yes.
You know, that's not a brand, but it's still something that's synonymous with what the item is.
Right. Yeah. And so it's going to take some time. But yeah, no, I'm taking them out of the status of indie company now just because of the money that's associated with the company, the backing that they have financially, the incredible TV deal that they have now with TNT, the Bleacher Report live streaming stuff that they have. I mean, they so quickly got things that other wrestling companies that are considered indies by most people are still working on that I would take them right out of that category.
I'm curious. I have a question. Go ahead. I'll let you finish first. Then I'll ask my question.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know, what do you think caused this? Like, so as you said, like, no company has gotten this kind of, like, backing with a TV deal and whatever so soon, and especially the kind of deal they got, right, where, like, they're going to do all the work and they're going to give, like, a 50-50 cut almost, I think is what it was, it pretty much broke down to. Was this a combination of things? Was it specifically that Tony Khan and, like, the Khan family are involved? Was it the fact that Chris Jericho and JR are involved, so they already have big wrestling names involved? Was it the fact that, you know, those two things combined, plus you have the Young Bucks, Cody and Omega, who showed their will, showed what they could do with All In, right? All In was huge, and it showed that, hey, we have fans. Was it a combination of all these things that made AEW so successful right away? Like, what do you think really sparked this, especially the TV deal?
Yeah, it was exactly a combination, a total perfect storm of all this stuff.
And
I think it started with the idea or the seed being planted by somebody, and TNT must have recognized and said, holy Jesus, that TV deal that Fox and NBC just gave WWE is massive. Like, yeah, it's huge. And they wanted a piece of whatever that was going to be, right? So the ratings were so good, and WWE was making so much money. Like, everybody talks about how crappy WWE is right now. Yeah, it's not that entertaining. But let's not kid ourselves. They're making record revenues right now. Like, they are doing so well financially that you can't take that away from them. And you have to go, man, well, they're obviously doing something right because their TV deals are massive. Their international money, the amount of people investing in what they're doing is so big that there's a huge pie here that somebody else should be able to take a piece of. And so when you see that kind of deal happen with WWE and you know you weren't in on it, you know, NBC got it, Fox got it. Well, TNT and all these other things are just sitting on the sidelines going, man, how do we get a piece of this now? You see a company like AEW, which wasn't even AEW at the time, but it was All In and Cody and the Young Bucks. And these guys were sort of building some steam and putting these conferences together. And the fans were really loving it because they were looking for an alternative. And they saw the swell and the build. And they go, well, shoot, there's a company that might have some steam, and then you get in on the ground floor of something that you think is hot and trending, and then you add Tony Khan to it, the guy who's got the money
and the business background.
Then you know that there's some security there because he's connected to the NFL and he's connected to soccer and he's connected to all of this stuff, and you go, okay, this is pretty secure for us. Like, this is a good company for us to get involved with because they've got the money. They're not just going to turn around tomorrow and be ECW and be broke. Like, they can afford this. And so when you have that, I think of all the things that were the least important, it's probably the star power. But I do think that guys like Jericho did help because it attached someone you knew to whatever you were investing in. Yep. Like, kind of like when WCW went out and grabbed Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and those guys. And it was like, okay, well, now we have people everyone knows. I don't know that AEW mattered that much, because if you really, really want to get into the details of this, the mass majority of wrestling fans still don't know who Kenny Omega is, still don't know who the Young Bucks are, probably don't give a crap that Cody Rhodes is really doing well for himself after leaving WWE.
They probably don't even know he's still wrestling.
Right, but they do know who Jericho is, and they've heard of Dean Ambrose. So when you get those guys in your company, you're like, okay, now we have something, right? If Sasha Banks were to jump, I don't know if she can, but you've heard of her too, right?
Does it hurt that Jon Moxley is the name now, not Dean Ambrose then? Because I guess
no.
The fact that his video went viral helps, but that's also like a lucky thing.
Because you recognize his face, right? Like, if you've seen him on a flyer, you've seen him on it's like when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash jumped to WCW, they were Diesel and Razor, You didn't give a crap that they were Scott Hall and Kevin Nash any, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I guess because you're looking at it now, like, obviously the Monday Night Wars happened when I was really young slash not even able to remember wrestling. Like, I remember most of it in the past, if I, you know, if I had to think about it. And I always think about, like, I mean, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, that's fine. Like, it's interchangeable. Even more so, I call them more Scott Hall and Kevin Nash than I would Diesel and Razor Ramon, but that's definitely not the way it was.
Well, WCW got so much steam because it was so confusing. Like, when they first jumped, and that's what made it interesting. If you had just sent Razor over there and he could have taken his name with him, you wouldn't have probably cared. You'd have been like, wow, that's a pretty big get for WCW. It's interesting that Razor has jumped over there. But when you brought him in as Scott Hall and he walked through the crowd and he wasn't dressed like Razor anymore, you're like, what? What's going on here? Like, and that, there's a little bit of that with Moxley. Other than the fact that now the wrestling fans who follow AEW are so well informed and they have that internet, you know, access and the marks that are telling them everything that's going on and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's just, it's not the same as it was back then, but at the same time, it is still interesting and people want to know what this new guy's going to be about. When his video dropped the night his contract ended, everybody's like, what the hell? Like, what is that thing? Right, and that's what gained so much steam. And just the idea, and I don't think he's coming, but the idea that CM Punk might go there has people watching just to see if he will go there. And most people probably know that he ain't going to go there. Like, he's, unless he's lying, he said he's not coming, right? It's just, so he could be lying and setting everybody up for a major surprise, but I don't think he's coming. And so, but it doesn't matter. It's just the idea that he might go. That's what has everybody interested, right?
Has anybody been so on top of the wrestling world of, like, people pretend they don't care, but so many people want CM Punk to be involved in wrestling. It's insane. So many people.
You know what, though? I'm not even... That's a hard one for me because I get the impression that, and maybe I'm wrong, but CM Punk, let's say he shows up.
Yeah.
I think he's entertaining for all of 3 months. He's going to have some matches with Kenny Omega. He's going to have him, you know, the guys that you really want to see him wrestle be like, holy crap, that's going to be a dream match. That's going to be so awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then he's old news, you know, because he's
sure,
like, that's the thing. Like, you just, the idea that CM Punk would jump or get back into wrestling is what's entertaining about this whole thing. Not necessarily that most people give a crap about the match. Like, he's going to have a couple good ones. If that's what were to happen, he'll have some really good ones against Omega and he'll have a good one against whoever, Jericho or what have you. But that's going to get old pretty quick, right? It's just like when a guy shows up in WWE, they bring back a Batista or they bring back Sting. I mean, it's boring after a while. Like, I mean, the idea that he showed up is really cool, and then, you know, it goes away.
I agree that, I mean, the biggest thing is him returning. Like, it's the thought, you know, the idea of CM Punk is better. It's
the anticipation of it, yeah.
Yeah, the idea, the anticipation, the hunt, the chase. It's like anything in life. It's never as good when you actually have it. But when you talk about CM Punk, the guy was legitimately the best in the world for a long time. Like, he's really, really talented, both on the mic and in the ring. It's very hard to find anybody as talented as him in the ring, especially at the time when we weren't really seeing much of the indies. Honestly, it was like, what, 2011, 2012, like the height of his career, let's say. The indies were still just the indies. We've seen in the last 5 years, they've really taken a prominence among fans, even the mainstream fans have gotten more into it, but for most people, CM Punk was the only alternative. Like, or he was the only option, sorry. And that was cool for indie fans because CM Punk was, you know, the typical indie guy who, hey, he made it. So CM Punk is really talented. So even if it's not going to be the same level of anticipation, like you said, I still think it would be very entertaining regardless. At least personally, I'd be entertained. I don't know about the majority of fans. I think you're right. It's like Becky Lynch, right? Anything can go stale very fast. It depends on how it's done.
And I don't think CM Punk would go stale very quickly. I think it would happen, but not like there. The amount of the matches he could have won, the things he would say when he first got there, for weeks, he would be entertaining. Just like, what's he going to say next? So he's going to talk about WWE. I know it. He's going to talk about this. I know it.
I needed him to talk for the first month.
Like, just the anticipation of what he might say or the pipe bombs, in quotes, that he might drop. For AEW, because clearly they are not afraid to lay the gauntlet down and make a crack at WWE or insinuate or subliminally show this or destroy the throne or whatever they're doing to take a shot across the bow at WWE. I mean, open invitation here, Punk, go ahead, here's a microphone. Right? Yeah, like, just the stuff that he would say, right, would be entertaining. But then once he says it, And once he's had the matches, it's just whether or not you fall back in love with the idea of Punk being in wrestling or not. I think that would be a mixed reaction. One of the things I want to talk about, though, with AEW, while we're on the topic of it, the interview that Chris Jericho did, and we're talking about Jericho here, with Jesse Ventura was quite interesting. And I have a few thoughts about it. I don't know. I think you said you didn't get a chance to see it, but you read up on it. Yep. Did you have any initial thoughts about that interview, the comments that he made in regards to employee status and AEW versus WWE? Any initial thoughts there, your first reaction?
I mean, it makes sense, and it's not the first time we've heard about it, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last time. WWE superstars aren't treated the way they should be, especially from a company that has $2 billion deals from two of the biggest companies in the world, right? So you have these wrestlers that have to pretty much figure out their own travel, figure out their own hotels, figure out their own healthcare stuff. They have the doctors at WWE, but they have no like health insurance long term. I know that WWE does help out with some of their former stars in dire situations. We've seen them help out Sonny a billion times in recent years, but it's not consistent enough to where you'd say, hey, this is worth putting my life on the line 300 days a year. And when I say 300 days a year, it's not like it's 300 on and 65 off. It's 65 off somewhere in between all these days, right? Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. But the point is, they're not wrong when they say that you need to have some kind of options for the wrestlers to be taken care of properly.
I wonder from watching that interview just how much it represents wrestling as a whole. I agree with you that WWE hiring everybody as independent contractors is a little weird, you know, because they aren't really independent contractors. They don't have any of the actual things that independent contractors would have, like the freedom to wrestle for other people, to take your own contracts, that you have to exclusively work for WWE. But I don't think AEW does it either. You know, like,
no, I mean, they made it Dean sound Ambrose, right, from wrestling.
Yeah, Chris Jericho sort of made it sound like they do. But if you watch that interview closely, he kind of danced around that question when Ventura asked it the first time. Like, he didn't want to answer it. And then he finally did, and he said, well, yeah, I'm an employee. But he didn't say everyone else is. Like, do you think Sean Spears, the former Ty Dillinger, signs on with AEW as an employee or an independent contractor? I'm going to guess it's the latter.
I would love to know what the actual distinction is or what they actually get for being
like, are we talking about the 100 guys on the roster that maybe six of them are employees? Like, that's what I'm thinking, right? So it really doesn't give you a good indication that, yeah, AEW is changing the landscape. Like, Jericho's right. If they start giving out all these contracts as employees and not independent contractors, hell yes, WWE guys are going to want to run over there because – like WCW happened when they got the guaranteed contracts and didn't have to work as much. People just flocked over there because they're like, well, shit, yeah, let's just go. Like, we have a whole lot less that we have to do for a whole lot of the same money, and it's guaranteed. So if we're sitting at home, we still get paid either way. Well, if you're going to AEW and you're guaranteed an employee contract, you get health benefits, you get this, you get that, you get whatever. Well, yeah, if everything's the same, you're going to take that one, right?
But isn't it funny how it's happening? Well, we're in a time now when if you go back in the day, wrestlers wanted less dates and more money and guaranteed money, right? Now we have wrestlers who are being offered big money, like significant raises, and saying, no, I'm going to leave so I can work more dates for less money. So it's very funny to be that transition in wrestlers' attitudes at this point. I don't really know where the line is drawn there and what people are like, why there's the difference now. But it is a hard like 180 turn from what it used to be. Like you said, they went there and it makes perfect sense on paper. Why wouldn't I go work in WCW if I'm going to work less dates and I'm going to get paid more money and it's all guaranteed to me? And I'll probably have creative control because everyone had creative control, which is why the company failed. Now you go and you look today, people will leave WWE to go work for less opportunity, less money, and no guarantees, just to say that they can work on, you know, work matches, which I understand you want to work. I totally get that. If you're a wrestler, I'd imagine most of them have a passion for it. That's why you'll see some people like Rhino or Sean Spears say, hey, I want out. And then you have some people like, I mean, we didn't really talk about this, but Mike Kanellis and Maria, I mean, Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis. It's hard for me to call him Mike Kanellis.
Yeah.
But, but you know, the Kanellises. Canellis size? Canellis sows? Canellis is... yeah, it's like, when they just signed huge five-year deals. When's the last time you saw them?
Well, that screams to me...
I know he's on like
money, live. Money talks, right? I mean, like, how many times did she hint on social media they were leaving?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they caved. They said, well, yes, we're trying to prove a point. We want you to know we're not happy. But at the end of the day, who are they kidding? They're not going to all of a sudden tomorrow, because they were signed a 5-year extension, is going to be mainstays on Raw.
Nope.
You know, they're not going to all of a sudden get main event pushes. He's not going to go and win the Cruiserweight Championship tomorrow. Like, none of that's going to happen. They took the money. They took the security, the financial security of a 5-year deal, because they have a family. And wrestlers are going to do that. And I don't blame them for it. I'm not saying that they made the wrong decision. I'm saying when push comes to shove, all these guys that are talking crap, going, oh, hey, we're going to take off, I think a large percentage of them, when the money comes into their play, they're going to take it. Now, there's going to be a few guys like Sean Spears and Rhino, and who knows what the Revival are doing, and Sasha Banks, whatever it is that she ends up doing, that will not take the money and will go somewhere else. But a lot of people will. You know, a lot of people will look at this and go, how do I turn this down? Right? In the cases like Moxley and Spears, those guys didn't even open the envelopes. They didn't even want to see what they were being offered, because they'd made up their mind and didn't want to know what they were turning down, which is probably the smartest thing to do, right? Because you look at that money and you go, holy crap. Like in Ambrose's case, I'm sure it was 7 figures.
Oh, had to be for sure.
Right? So how do you go, oh, geez.
Like, well, the best way I could put it to you is the way you're like, to go with the point you're saying now. You know when you watch those game shows like Deal or No Deal, or like now you've got like what is it, the Shazam show and stuff, when they basically are told you can go for it and you can double your money, or if you lose you get like half your money. And Deal or No Deal is like you can go from like $500,000 to like $2. Yeah. But so this is how they say, well, we didn't come here to win this money. We came here to win as much money as we can. So they go all in for it. The equivalent of that is saying, I'm going to go to a casino. You're going to give me $80,000. Do I want to bet for $80,000 to potentially win $160,000, or do I want to just cash out my chips right now? You're betting $80,000 when you do it like that. So for a wrestler, when you tangibly put the money in front of them and say, you can leave, but you're leaving X amount of money on the table, it becomes a lot harder to contextualize it when you don't know the number. So again, when those game shows, you don't have the money in front of you. If you're at a casino playing a slot machine, you don't have the money in front of you technically. Right, it's all kind of like, it's all on tickets, it's all it's you know, a number on a screen. They also like it, the way it's presented to you, it's not never your money. But with WWE, if they say, hey, we're gonna offer you 5 years, $5 million, for $1 million a year, if you hear that, it's a lot harder to say, oh, well, I'm leaving for a $700,000 a year job without much guarantee, and no guarantee this company is going to do anything beyond the next 2 years.
Well, yeah,
it's a lot harder.
Do the math on it, like the Mike and Maria Kanellis deal. Let's just ballpark. I don't know what it is, but let's say it's $300,000 a piece.
Sure.
Right? 5 years, it's 1.5 times two is $3 million. Right? Like, that's a lot of money. Like, how do you not say, okay? You know what I mean? Like, there's no guarantee if you go to AEW, they're going to have something for you. There's no guarantee they even want you.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, the thing. They've already said.
You can't talk to them legally. You can.
Well, you're not supposed to. Yeah. That's for sure. But I mean, and we'll get right into it right now. Sasha Banks, clearly still under WWE contract, is retweeting AEW promotions. You know, like she put out today the Fighter Fest video, episode 3, Road to Fighter Fest. She popped that on a retweet feed on Twitter. What's going on there?
Yeah, that seems very illegal to me.
Well, I don't think it's illegal to promote somebody, like contract. To share a video for a company that isn't you, but it's pretty stupid.
No, you know, I would say it is, because like when Xavier Woods and everyone like said like good luck today and stuff, they weren't specifically retweeting AEW stuff. They were just saying good luck, right? Vaguely. You can look into it and see what's happening that they're wishing them good luck for. But when you specifically retweet Cody Rhodes, who's talking about Fighter Fest and has like a video and everything, well, now it's you're really, really asking to be released. But the funny thing is she's never going to be released. So maybe this is just a ploy.
Yeah, she's clearly just trying to piss people off. Yep. Like, that would be like me. I was a professional DJ forever, and I used to work in nightclubs all the time. That would be like me getting in a nightclub, having my residency on a Monday night or whatever. During my spot or my promotion on the microphone, I talk about another club. You're like, of course they're going to be mad at me. Like, that's not the point. You don't get on a microphone and talk about anybody but your own promotions and your own club, and the only thing that you're doing is marketing that club. That's your job. Right. So as a wrestler, your job is to, one, get in the ring and put on a good match, and two, promote the snot out of the company that you work for. right? She might not be on TV right now. She might be sitting at home pouting. We don't really know the story behind all this. Everybody thinks they do, but nobody really knows. She's just sending out all these cryptic, but this is the first time that I've ever really seen it where she's come right out and put something out there about AEW. And not so much as she's just made a, hey, great show, or good job, or congratulations on your signing, you know, Ty Dillinger, whatever. She's cross-promoted a video that they put out promoting their pay-per-view.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy.
It's I've never seen it before.
No, and you have to know that she's either one, worked out a thing with WWE, we just haven't heard about it, and she's leaving, which seems unlikely to me.
Especially after that 2K19 or 2K20 stuff.
Yeah, or she's trying to get in trouble, right? Like, she's, because she has to know that that's not okay. Unless it was an accident, but how's that an accident?
Yeah, it's not right? An like, accident.
You know what I mean? So it's weird. Like, it's just absolutely weird. And the last thing that I had heard was that she was actually, like, working with WWE to come back this summer.
Yeah, on good terms.
That seems odd to me now, right? Something must have happened there where they got off on the wrong page again. You know, they were talking about it. Things didn't go well. Now all of a sudden, you know, well, okay, here, screw you. Like, here is a promotion for Fyter Fest. Let's see what you say about this one, Vince. Right? Like, this seems very weird to me. And it's still up there. It's not like she's taking it down either.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think? I think that Vince Russo is right, and this company is just the same company.
Are you being serious when you say that?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, my God. I was like, well, I've read that, and people have believed it. And then I thought, oh, my God. Tell me Vince Russo didn't get you.
Did you see the pay-per-view? Like the bill from a hotel or whatever, when it said WWE Double or Nothing instead of AEW Double or Nothing, which is honestly just like, I mean, it's very clearly just a mistake. But Vince Russo's like, I was right. Like, yeah. It's so funny. No, he didn't get me. Even if it is the same company, that'd be like fantastic and funny because no one expects it. But no, like there's no way that this is the same company.
Yeah. No. This. I think this is just people using leverage. Here's the deal. I hesitate to say this because I don't know the details, and I'm going to make that clear right now. But from what I'm watching from the outside and not knowing much of anything, I think Sasha Banks is being a baby. I think she absolutely is pouting about what's going on in WWE, and she is pouting to the point where she is making everybody's life miserable, including her own. You know, like, this is not going to go well for her. So why she's doing this, I have no idea, other than to anger people. And at the end of the day, she's not going to look very good when all this comes out, unless they let her go, right? And say, okay, fine, this is getting ridiculous. Here you go, just take off, right? And then she gets what she wants, but she did it in the most unethical way possible, right? That just, it bothers me. I like Sasha Banks as a wrestler. I think she had so much potential and her ceiling was so high and WWE screwed it up, but now I'm not on her side anymore, right? I see this stuff and I go, this is just not how you do this. Like, yeah, something is either happening that we don't know about and she feels very entitled to be making these kinds of moves, or she's just being a baby. And I'm thinking it's the latter, but again, I don't know all the details and I hesitate to say that. I say that with some resistance, but yeah, it just doesn't look good, right? It's just not what I would be doing. But again, I'm not in her shoes, so to each their own. I guess the last thing we should probably talk on here is the Lars Sullivan news that came out today.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
He's injured, like, badly. I noticed he wasn't on Raw and SmackDown. I didn't really know why. I wasn't even aware that he was suffering with some sort of injury. Until I saw the news today that he's out for the rest of the year. He's probably out till WrestleMania of next year.
Well, let me say this then. Is JR a genius? Because he said that he thinks that Lars shouldn't lose until WrestleMania 2020. And even then, maybe not at all. And then he also said that he doesn't need a daily dose of Lars on television. Well, JR, you got every wish you wanted.
Yeah, not exactly what he probably meant.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it was, this is not, here's the thing for me. I don't know that fans are really going to miss Lars Sullivan. Like, no. I think he's pretty polarizing as a person in terms of what the fans like. I think as a monster, he's okay, but he's nothing special. But he was the guy that WWE chose to be the next monster. And I'm sure they were building towards something with maybe Brock Lesnar or something with Braun Strowman or maybe Roman Reigns or whatever the case is. Now all that's on hold, but you know, I don't want to say anybody should ever get injured, but karma's a bitch. Like,
yeah, but this is also the best timing for him ever. Getting him off TV, getting him out of the minds of the fans for a bit. That way they don't have this negative thought. Like, if he comes back in a year or 9 months or whatever it is, people aren't going to have, you know, all these recent events in the back of their mind. So this is kind of a blessing in disguise for him, at least.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, it sucks, but there's a
Maybe WWE is like, whew, this isn't what we want. This really puts our plans on hold for a while, but we sort of are dodging a bullet here because we didn't look very good. Nope. By not doing much about this. You know, like the whole social media forum, internet post that he put up there that went out publicly, and all he did was get a little fine and a slap on the wrist, and he's on TV the same week. People didn't love that, right? So now they can go, they can't take credit for the fact that he's not on TV, but now they can sort of get away from this and go, well, he's going to be gone for a while. Let's put this on the back burner. People will simmer down. When he comes back in a year, probably no one will care. You know, it's, you're right. They probably dodged a bullet there. But yeah, it's no good that that happens because of an injury. Like, that's just not what you want to see. But people will say that. Say, yeah, well, this is what you get for being such a jerk. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. But I didn't have a real opinion about Lars Sullivan either way. I didn't like him. I didn't hate him. It was okay. But yeah, it's going to be interesting now to see what they do and who becomes the new resident monster. That dude on NXT, Prince something. I just watched him the other night. I thought he was shades of Lars Sullivan meets Baron Corbin. He might be that guy. So, I mean, they're going to have to find somebody, right? Because WWE always has a resident monster, and it sure ain't Braun Strowman anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what they did with him. They really dropped the ball with Braun Strowman. The same way they did with Ryback, the same way they did with Snitsky, the same way they did with every other monster, unfortunately, other than, like, Kane, Big Show, and Undertaker.
Yep.
And, I mean, you can't blame them on Great Khali. That was, like, I couldn't walk.
Yeah, that was tough. I loved him, and he was in the Longest Yard movie with Adam Sandler. I remember watching that movie going, oh, that guy could be a really good wrestler. And then you see him moving around, and you're like, oh, that's a lot of movie tricks. That's he looks really good in a movie, but I liked him, but he wasn't professional wrestling material, really. I wanted to, before we went today, be able to share our news with people from last week, but unfortunately our news has to wait a week because I can tell people now, we did an interview with somebody from WWE, and I'm like super, super excited about the interview, and I want to share the information and all the stuff that we talked about in the interview, but unfortunately the people who organized the interview have this delay that we have to adhere to.
An embargo.
Yes. So we are not allowed to talk about it or promote it until they give us the go-ahead. So unfortunately, we were hoping to have part of that interview and some of the content of that for today's episode. We are not ready to do that yet, but we should have it by next week. So fans that are listening to this or fans that read our stuff on thesports.com, you know, follow us on social media on wrestling write-ups, stuff like that. They'll get to see some of this information. We promise it's coming, but we don't have it for you this week. So for the folks that listened last week, we apologize that we couldn't follow through with you this week. But we are going to bring that to you, we promise. We just can't talk about it yet. Anything else that you want to cover before we let her go? It's been almost an hour. We talked about it. We opened the show with Stomping Grounds. Should we finish it with Stomping Grounds? Anything that you're at? And for us, you and I, this is a very big weekend because we are hockey people. We are very, 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 very deep into the NHL. We write about it all the time. So this is kind of a busy weekend for us because we've got the NHL draft on Friday. We've got the beginning, you know, signs of free agency and the interviews for players in free agency. And then, of course, we got the NBA draft on July 1, and we got Stomping Grounds this weekend. So it's a big weekend for us. Anything you want to say in closing about the pay-per-view? Are you going to watch it immediately and anticipate being like, yeah, it's going to be great, or are you just going to catch a replay of it?
So I always watch pay-per-views live, like every pay-per-view for the last ever. But this one I won't be able to, but that is because my favorite band is in town on Sunday. And I'm with a band, like I work with a band, and I'm missing their show to go see my favorite band because that's just, and they understand completely. They wish they could miss the show to go see the band because this band means more to me than anything. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'll probably watch pay-per-view later that night or the next day. But yeah, I'm not watching it live. What about you?
Yeah, I probably will. I'm going to keep up with all my other work, so I'll have it on in the background. I mean, of course, I want to cover it and make sure that I see if anything, you know, pressing happens that we need to share with fans, and we'll do articles on the sportster.com, we'll do articles on wrestling write-ups and their social media and all that stuff. We'll have that, and we'll have it for you as quickly as we can so that fans and listeners can get that information right away. That said, I am not going to be sitting there with a bucket of popcorn eagerly anticipating the finish of every match, because I have a feeling I know what they are and I've seen them already. So it's not something I'm going to be going out of my way to try and watch. I hope they surprise us pleasantly and do something we aren't expecting. I don't see it, but that sure would be nice if they did that sort of thing.
Sounds to me like I found your issue. You're not enjoying Raw and SmackDown because you don't have popcorn when you watch it. That may be
the deal. Yeah.
We've all been messing up.
That would be a two times a week habit of popcorn for me. If that
sometimes
were
sometimes three.
Every Raw, every SmackDown. Yeah, maybe every NXT.
Sometimes three. Pay-per-view. Sometimes four if you want to include pay-per-view and also AEW stuff.
And I'm a big movie buff. Could you imagine watching a movie without popcorn?
Just popcorn every single day.
It's a That's food all. Group. Yeah, no. I don't think we want to go there. I don't need the help with the weight, so it's all good.
All the extra salt. That's a lot of
butter,
salt.
The butter, right? Would you like butter? Yes, sir, I would. Oh,
layered, please.
Yes, that's right. All right, bud. Well, we'll hope that Stomping Ground pleasantly surprises us. We hope that there's some big news coming that we can share with fans, and we hope that our little buddies that gave us the embargo will lift it so that we can share that interview and the contents of that interview with fans. So Al will bid you adieu. I will wish you good luck watching your favorite band. I will say hopefully the Boston Bruins, because I know that's your team, have a better draft than they had a final for the Stanley Cup. But until next week, buddy, I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you then, man.
All right. For everybody else, this has been another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com. We will talk to you next week.